have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full.
Hallelujah. Waves of glory, it is like a great overflowing. Yes, a well within my soul. It is joy unspeakable. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory full of glory, it is joy. Unspeakable and full of glory, and I have had never yet. One more time, it is joy. It is joy unspeakable. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Full of glory, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and I have had never yet been told. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you have that joy?
Amen.
Joy
thank
unspeakable.
Hallelujah.
Maybe seated for a moment. Got a few announcements. So next Sunday, praise the Lord, we're going to have, after the morning service, we're going to have Operation Christmas Child, where we put together the boxes and we ask you to come and help and to do that. This year we're going for quality, not quantity, right? We're going for accuracy. So we're going to, we found some boxes. Sister Dolly was telling me last year that someone didn't know how to do it exactly right, and so it had to be repacked. And so we're going to have probably Sister Dolly, Maureen, Laura, different ones, making sure that it's the way we want it to be before we seal it up and say it's finished. So, but please make yourself available, and we'll pray that God will bless not just the children receiving a little gift, but that they could receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they could be saved. That's the whole purpose of it, and we appreciate the vision that they have for this. So that's next Sunday. Then the following Sunday, November 5th, next Sunday's October 29th. It's hard to believe, but November we're talking about. November 5th is two Sundays, and that's the end of daylight savings time. So Saturday night, you're going to need to fall back, right? Put your clocks back an hour. That means the sunset will move from 5:58 to 4:58, so from around 6 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Amen.
And then December, we know the sunset goes all the way down to around 4:30, 4:39. And you lose daylight, but then it comes back again after that. So just some reminders, some announcements. Today, I think the sun sets around 6:15. It's amazing how rapidly that changes as the fall comes in, and then it just evens off at around 4:30, and then it goes back. But I think we all like daylight. I like daylight, and when the night comes quickly, you know, it's kind of hard. But there's daylight coming. There's a daylight coming. There's a day star. There's the coming of the Lord we're looking for. So I think that's all I had now. So let's all stand and read some of the scripture today. John 7:37, just a few verses. I have a very simple message today, but it was pressing on me, and I trust the Lord will bless you. and that he'll come visit us today. So let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach you today, we approach your scriptures, and Lord, we approach you, Lord. We ask you to come and to bless us, Lord, to change us, to let your word and your spirit, the same word and the spirit that transformed this earth, may you transform our lives. You said, Lord, that we must be born again. And Lord, we know that a person cannot do that on their own, even if they were thinking that they needed that, Lord. It takes a visitation from you. It takes you to come and to touch us. And Lord, I invite you, Lord, to come and touch each and every one of us today. Those that are not born again, that they could be born again today. Those that are born again, that they could receive a refreshing, Lord, from you. That you could encourage us to press the battle in these last days that we have here on the earth before you come back again. Lord, help us today. Lord, the thoughts today, I just ask that you move me aside, and may it not be my thoughts, Lord, but may it be your thoughts, and may it be received in that way. And Lord, we just invite you to come, Father. Bless the reading of your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John 7:37. I'm sorry. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You may be seated. God bless you. Can you just picture that? That last day, that great day of the feast, and Jesus standing there. And here, I love to think about it, because what a time that was. What a special time where Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, who made everything, he embodied himself in the man Jesus Christ. Amen. And he had that such a short ministry on earth. But there he stood. Can you picture him standing there and just saying, "If any man thirst..." Do you thirst today?
Amen.
"If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And drink. Come unto me. I want to speak about come to Jesus.
Amen.
You know, even in the worldly ranks, people that I know through business and things, you know, when they want to talk about somebody, they use the terminology "come to Jesus" meeting. Have you ever heard anybody say that? That doesn't really know Jesus? I mean, they don't. Their life doesn't seem to testify that they're really a Christian. But they know, somehow they know that terminology, "come to Jesus." Like, I was in a business situation and the customer was having some expectation here and the reality was way over there, and people weren't aligned, you know. So this guy that I work with said, "We need to have a come to Jesus meeting."
Come on.
Amen.
So what did he mean by that? See, you know, he said, you know, if you really think about what he was saying, we need everybody to get serious now and understand truth and reality.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. We can't have no more delusions, and we can't have no more way out there. We've got to come down to right where we need to be. Get everybody thinking the same way. Come to Jesus meeting.
Amen.
You know, I like that a little bit. You know, I didn't like that I didn't Hallelujah. Feel like he really knew Jesus. But I tell you what, it made me feel good because I do know Jesus.
Amen.
And he touched me one day, and I had my come to Jesus meeting.
Amen.
And he changed me for the better. And I remember what I was, and it seems like another lifetime ago, and I won't glorify the things the devil did with me. You know, the best testimony is to serve God your whole life.
Amen.
And never be tainted by the devil.
True,
too many times we glorify testimonies of people out in the world,
right.
And then kids raised up in the truth who never went out in the world, they think, well, maybe I got to go sin so I have a testimony. Your best testimony is to serve God your whole life and never be tainted by the devil.
Amen.
That's the best testimony.
That's right. Amen.
Right?
That's good, brother.
Amen. You agree with that?
Amen.
That's what I really believe. I said that one time at I was in Ohio many, many years ago, and after the service, sister came up to me and says, I appreciate you saying that. Sometimes you feel like there's a pressure for us to go do something wrong, and I don't want to do wrong. I said, don't do anything wrong. Don't give space to the devil. He is a liar. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And always remember, the devil, sin, takes you farther than you want to go.
Amen.
Right? Costs you more than you wanted to pay.
Amen.
And keeps you longer than you wanted to stay.
Amen.
He's a liar. He's a deceiver. We can never beat him on intellect. We only beat him by giving ourselves to Christ.
Amen.
So come unto Jesus. Now, we have been for the last few weeks speaking about reaping what you sow. And I was blessed by the thoughts myself, just what a blessing it is to reap to the Spirit of God and sow the Word of God.
Amen.
In our life. And how do we do that? We humble ourselves, we pray, we read the Bible, and you can actually sow, and you will reap what you sow.
Amen.
And if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully.
Amen.
But it's a law with God. Also, if you sow to your flesh, well, you're going to reap from your flesh. There's no question about it. You know, you can't say, well, nobody saw me, I didn't hurt anybody. Listen, that's a lie of the devil. It doesn't matter if you think you're alone and you think it doesn't matter. God sees everything. And if you sow to your flesh, you shall reap of your flesh corruption. And that corruption in you will affect the people all around you. And you won't have a good influence on people. So don't ever think that you're not hurting anybody when you yield to sin. You're not helping anybody. You're not helping yourself, and you're hurting yourself, and you're hurting everybody, and the devil's just trying to destroy you. But when you sow to the Holy Spirit, what a blessing it is, not just for you, but for everybody around you.
Amen.
See, it's like the high priest that would go into the temple, and the temple of the incense, and the altar with the bread, and the seven golden candlesticks, and the altar of incense there, And you know, when he came out, he smelled like incense, right?
Amen.
And Paul would say, I know where he was. He was behind that veil there. He was in the presence there. You know, he might have went into the holies of holies today, and I can smell on him.
Amen.
You know, don't you want to live the kind of Christian life where people just get around you and say, ooh,
yeah,
something special is going on here.
Yeah.
I smell the incense.
Hallelujah.
This woman's been in the presence of God. You know, you can live that kind of life.
Yeah.
Right? Brother Branham always encouraged us. He said, you want to be the kind of Christian where even your enemies would say, well, if ever there was a Christian, that's a Christian. Like, there's no doubt about it. See, just the life is testifying so strongly that it wouldn't. If someone heard a bad testimony, I don't believe it. That's a Christian. That's a Christian there. Amen.
Amen.
So we've been talking about the Word being a seed. And yes, the Word is a seed. But He, Jesus, is much more than the Word, the letter of the Word.
Yeah.
He's much more than that. Even, you know, He is that quickening Spirit. Without that quickening Spirit, the letter's a dead letter.
Amen.
The Bible is dead. The Word is dead unless the Spirit comes to quicken it. And we as Christians can have dead letter and not produce the life of Christ without the sweet Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
And you can have the dead letter, and you can have a religious spirit and not produce a Christian at all. You can actually push people away from Christianity because of the spirit that you have on you, right? So we want the Spirit of Christ. That is like the main thing, because that's Him. That's the person of Christ. Brother Branham said, not to know the Bible is life. He said, not to know the Word is life. To know Him is life. So he made a difference, didn't he?
Amen.
Now, some people don't understand the difference if they never met Jesus.
Yeah.
But we want to come to Jesus today.
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
So if we truly come to Jesus, we must come in contact with His Spirit.
Amen.
We must come in contact. And it's that Spirit, along with His Word, see, the letter of the, when the Spirit quickens the Word, see, that's what satisfies.
Yeah.
Without the Spirit, it isn't satisfying.
Amen.
It's just a law, or it's just a dead letter. But with the Spirit, it's life, and it satisfies.
Amen.
See, because to find Jesus is to find life.
Amen.
To find the meaning of life. How many people are searching for the meaning of life? And they'll look at Jesus and say, well, that's not it. And they push that aside and they keep looking other places. Because they never really met Him.
Amen.
They never really knew Him. They never really knew His Spirit. They were never quickened by His Spirit. One moment in His presence can change your life forever.
Amen.
And so I believe that He is exactly what every human being longs for.
Yes.
Jesus.
Amen.
And so you can have religion, but that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Him.
Yes.
The person of Jesus Christ, who is God.
Hallelujah.
The fullness of
Thank
God.
Lord,
the reason why this world exists is so that we could know Him.
Yes.
Jesus.
Amen.
And have fellowship with Him. And be born again of His Spirit.
Amen.
That's the reason this world is here. That's the reason this church is here, so that we can know Jesus.
Amen.
So He says, if any man thirst, and I really like that last song he sang, Tim, you know, talk about that well of waters. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want that.
Amen.
I want that. I think that's awesome.
Amen.
Picture rivers of living water.
Amen.
Just picture literal water for a moment. You know, streams of gushing water. You know, when you're out in the wilderness somewhere and water's not corrupted and it's pure, and you see gushes of water just coming out the side of a rock, just coming out, it's just wonderful, isn't it? You just stare at it. It's like, wow. You just want to like jump in the middle of it. You just want it to flow over you. That's what He types the Holy Spirit being in our life. Rivers of living water coming out of you. Coming out of you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's go to the John 4, the woman at the well. praise God.
Amen.
John 4, verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know, she sounds like a feisty woman to me. I don't know about you, but this woman, you know, I mean, think about her condition now. She had five husbands, and the man she was living with now was not her husband. Okay, she wasn't the starlet of morality in the city. She was a sinner. right? But she met Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Love that. You know what? You know what people try to do? They try to fix themselves before they come to Jesus. No, don't do that. Just come to Jesus as you are. And let Him work on you. If you fix yourself, you're going to be a religious, self-righteous person that doesn't reflect Jesus. But if you come and say, hey, I'm just a sinner. I don't know why you have anything to do with me. He's like, that I can work with. That I can work with. All right? So the woman of Samaria, she's questioning. And he says, Jesus answered her, verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, many times the gift of God goes unrecognized. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Amen.
Living water. You know, he doesn't come right out and say it all the time, you know, but he says it, but he says it in a way where what he said needs to be quickened so you can get it. That's just the way it is. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw. She's still not getting it. Thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. And whence then hast thou this living water? She must have had an expression of a living water, right? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who which gave us the well and drank here of himself and his children, his cattle? And Jesus and said unto her, oh, don't you wish you were there?
Amen.
Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Can Jesus lie? There's one thing he can't. He cannot lie, right? Do you realize Jesus has water today that if you drink of that water, you'll never thirst.
Hallelujah.
But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Once again, Jesus talking about a well of water within those that come to him. You know, the Bible says it was the Holy Spirit. If any man come unto me and drink, he that believeth on me, the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. See, I think we live in a day where there's been too much emphasis on the Word and not enough on the Spirit. Because without the Spirit, you can't understand one bit of that Word. But we don't need just any Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. That's how you get into Christ. There's thousands of people that read the Bible every day. We have people that studied it their whole life, seminary experiences, people with actual degrees on their wall that say they know something. And they don't know anything. Because if you don't know Him, you don't know anything.
Amen.
Praise God. And there's some people that have no degrees on the wall. But they know Him.
Amen.
They know something.
Amen.
See, when you meet Him, all of a sudden you know something.
Amen.
Saul was persecuting Christians, and he's riding on his horse, and he might have been filled in his head with all kinds of knowledge. But one moment in the presence of Jesus, he gets knocked off his high horse, and all of a sudden he knows something about Jesus.
Glory, hallelujah.
You got to meet Him to know something about Him. So many people talking about Him that don't know Him. You got to meet Him to know Him. You got to be filled with Him to know Him. And if you're filled with Him, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
You see, depression is no match for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Woo! Depression is an evil spirit.
Hallelujah!
And depression comes into people's mind and shows them gloom and doom and everything's bad and everything looks bad. But see, that is no match for the belly full of living waters.
Amen. Oh, the glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the answer to all of our problems. Oh, but I need to go to the doctor and I need to get all kinds of brain chemical altering medication and I need to have... Listen, did you ever hear what they say? say, well, be careful of this medication because you may have thoughts of suicide. And what? Who would ever put into their body medication that the doctors know will make you think about suicide? I say, take Jesus instead.
Woo! Glory, hallelujah.
Be filled with Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, this is the truth. I know a lot of people talk about Jesus, but listen, there is a truth here. If you're hungering and thirsting for more, there is more for you. And the answer is to come to Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. If people only knew what they were missing. They don't know.
Amen.
People that have never experienced the Spirit of the living God, the sweetness of the Holy Ghost, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the rest of the Holy Ghost. If they ever knew what that was, they'd drop everything else to get Him.
Amen.
Because He's better than all that. He satisfies. People don't know the blessing of coming to Jesus, and they're searching their whole life. They're endlessly searching here and searching there for something to satisfy their souls, and they can never find it because He is the only thing that will satisfy your soul. Jesus Christ. The world has nothing. The world has nothing. Short-term worldly pleasures do not satisfy a hungry soul. They do not. They may satisfy your flesh, but just for a short time. It's like the drug addict, you know, he snorts up the cocaine or he takes some pills or he does whatever. And for just a short moment, they are in some kind of ecstasy, but then they come down and they got to have more. And then they become a prisoner to that thing. But see, that's a perversion of a real thing. Jesus can lift you up out of yourself, can lift you above all your doubts and fears, can lift you above all depression, can lift you above all unbelief, can lift you above all sin, and you never have to come down again.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
But if you do come down, you go back to Him. You don't have to pay for Him. You just sell out everything.
Amen.
And come to Him.
That's exactly right.
You can't buy it with money. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you today, Jesus is the answer.
Glory be to your mighty name.
And I know a lot of people say they know Jesus, but they just don't act like they do.
Amen. That's right,
they just don't seem like they do. They just... You know, it's like we talk many times, if His Spirit wrote this word, how can you deny the word if He's in you?
Hallelujah.
If He's doing something, how can you fight against what He's doing and say you got His Spirit?
Amen.
Help us, Lord. I say this, regardless of your conditions, regardless of your circumstances, Jesus can satisfy your hungry soul.
Amen.
Don't look to yourself. Don't look at others. Look to Him.
Amen.
Don't look to yourself. Don't look at others. Look at Him. He's wonderful to look at. We look at ourselves, we get depressed. We look at others, we get depressed. But you look to Jesus, you get lifted out of yourself. Because He is wonderful. He is God. Manifested in flesh. Hallelujah. You know, think of the woman at the well. She was living in sin. And she came to Jesus.
Amen.
Well, He came to her too.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, don't try to fix yourself.
No, sir.
Don't do it. Don't lift one finger to fix yourself.
No,
come to Jesus.
Amen.
Let Him fix you.
Hallelujah.
If you get involved, you're going to mess it up.
Amen.
But he knows exactly what to do.
Amen.
He knows exactly what to do. I love that. Only He can satisfy. He's not just our Savior. He's the master of our souls.
Amen.
He's the master of our life.
Yeah.
He is He wants to be that one that satisfies your hunger and your thirst. He's jealous when you try to get that satisfaction somewhere else. See, real Christians know that. If they go chasing something else, something grieves them. That's Jesus going, what about me? Ain't I good enough for you? He's just shaking his head because he knows that ain't going to satisfy you. But he wants to satisfy you. And he can satisfy you. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 6:35. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn, or we can look at it up here. John 6:35. This is where Jesus was talking and they didn't fully understand. You know, and you don't have to fully understand. That's a wonderful thing. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. You believe he's the bread of life?
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. Woo! I believe that. Amen. You know, and many didn't understand that. They didn't understand what he was saying because he was cryptic a little bit. And he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're saying, he wants us to eat his, what's it, cannibalism? You know, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They didn't get it back then, and people don't get it today.
Amen.
They don't get it. John 6:47 to 63. Let me just read a portion of this, because I love this here. And help us, Lord, to understand.
Amen.
Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
Amen.
I'm going to ask, do you believe on Jesus?
Amen.
Oh, see, what happens? Your mind gets all complicated now. Well, I believe on him, but I did this, and but I said that, and but this happened, and that happened. Do you believe on Jesus?
Amen.
Hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. You know, I believe Jesus. I believe Jesus. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, verse 52, therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus saith unto them, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Amen.
But put yourself there. Put yourself there. Would you have understood what he was talking about? These things said he in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? You know, it's not beneath Jesus to say things that are hard sayings.
Amen.
It's not beneath him. Actually, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why right now. The people that come to Jesus cannot rely on their intellect.
Right. Right.
Amen, bro.
You cannot rely on your reasoning.
That's right.
Amen.
There's something spiritually revealed to you.
Yes. Amen.
There's something about this.
Yes.
I need him.
Amen.
Right? When he said to the disciples, he said, will you go away also? He said, where can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
They didn't understand it, but they were drawn to Jesus. I don't understand everything, but I'm drawn to Jesus.
Amen.
And I got nowhere else to go.
Amen.
And by the way, he satisfies like nobody else.
Yeah, right.
All right. Many of the other disciples, when they heard his heart saying, when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Can you just see back there?
Amen.
Well, he's getting a little snooty. I'm out of here. He pushed them away.
That's right. See.
He will push you away.
Amen.
To see what's in you. Not to prove to him, to prove to you.
Yeah.
He already knows. He already knew who was going to stay. He already knew who was going to betray him.
Yeah.
Look at verse 63, though. He does explain a little bit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. You're focusing on the flesh. You're focusing on the dead letter. It's the Spirit that quickeneth.
Amen.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
The Word is a spirit and life. It's not just an intellectual thought. And that's the problem. People approach Jesus today intellectually and they never find him. You can't find him like that. It must be a spiritual new birth.
Amen.
Not an intellectual new birth.
That's right.
See, it's beyond reasoning. It's beyond understanding. It must be accepted by faith in a spiritual revelation. Praise God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See, here's God, the great eternal God, who had a plan, billions of millions and trillions and zillions of years to make a plan. You know, his plan's perfect. You know, there's no sense questioning his plan. There's no sense questioning God.
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. And when he revealed himself, he chose to reveal himself through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is how he chose to reveal himself. Who are we to say, well, you should have done it another way? No, he did it the perfect way.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
He always does it the perfect way. We just need to get away from our thoughts and our questioning and our unbelief and get in tune with him.
Amen.
Get into the Spirit. Get lifted up by the Spirit. Get his faith in you. And all of a sudden, you're way above all doubts and fears and you can see properly. Do you ever notice sometimes you're in church and you get lifted up out of your spirit and you can see, wow, I can see without doubt. I see. And then you go back to your life and you're, oh, I see doom and gloom now everywhere I go. See, he lets us get lifted up for a moment to see properly. See, then what do you do about it? Jesus is the complete revelation of God to mankind. But notice, he didn't explain everything to the people. And this is something I really want you to get. He didn't explain everything. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
It's wrong. Even his own disciples didn't understand. But when we come to Jesus, we should never require that you understand everything intellectually.
Amen. That's
not how you come to Jesus. And people are trying to do that today. And, you know, but you simply follow that drawing of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father, which has sent me, draw him.
Right.
See, you wouldn't have that desire unless he's drawing you.
Amen.
He's pulling you. Why are you in church today? What's that hunger? Where's that thirst come from? I remember a time in my life where I had no hunger and no thirst. I can remember that. I was satisfied in the things of the world. I was satisfied with worldly ambitions. But one day, he touched me.
Amen.
And he changed my desires. He changed my ambitions. And since that day, there's been a drawing.
Amen.
A drawing to him. A drawing to his word. A drawing to the heart of God.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't want to just come to the message in a intellectual. I want to know the heart of it.
Amen.
What was the meaning of it? What was the purpose of it?
Amen.
It's not enough that we heard a prophet. It's not enough that we are witnesses that it happened. In me, there's something that says, I want to manifest the very purpose of that message. The heart of it. I'm not going to get caught up in debating the finer points of the law.
Amen.
That was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians. And don't be one of those groups, but be the real disciples who ultimately become the Word made manifest.
Amen.
How do we approach Him?
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. We are drawn to Jesus, not fully understanding everything, but by faith, believing He is God manifested in flesh. And Jesus instructed us. And I want to say something. Jesus instructed us to become as little children.
Amen.
Little children.
Amen.
We're not to come to Jesus with life all figured out.
Come on.
Don't come to Him that way. You're not going to find Him. We are to come to Him in a humble way.
Amen.
We are to come to Him as simple little children seeking our loving Father.
Amen.
He said, I'll teach you how to pray. The first thing, our Father. Our Father in heaven. Father, He wants that relationship. He wants to have a relationship with you.
Amen.
See, the world is too clever.
Right.
They want to be clever. You know, and they are. But that don't help them get to Jesus. And you can be too clever for your own good. It might help you get a job, but it don't help you get to Jesus.
Amen, brother.
Trying to be smart. Trying to figure things out. You know, Brother Bram said, the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. See, that shows you can have the wrong mental attitude. There is a right attitude. There is a right way to come to God. God has a provided way of escape. Not through our works, not through our intellect, but through the blood. The shed blood of an innocent one. That's God's provided way. You try to come another way, and God will not accept your sacrifice. That is set. And God has a provided way to approach Him. Do not go to God telling Him what to do. I remember I was shocked one time and a brother's telling me how he's yelling at God. I'm like, you're in big trouble. I don't yell at God. I don't know about you. I don't yell at God. You know, God hammers that brother.
Amen.
Because he's coming the wrong way. You got to come to God the right way. Softly. Don't speak many words before Him. He knows everything anyway. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, many approach God the wrong way. We want to approach Him the right way. Even those following this message, they're approaching the message the wrong way. Because there's a right way and there's a wrong way.
Amen.
Oh, they can know everything. And they'll tell you they know everything. And they don't know Him. They don't know Him. I remember when I first come around, message people, you know, thank God I came to the Bible first, come to Jesus.
Amen.
I come to Jesus first. He led me to the Bible. And the Bible's speaking to me. And then I come to understand who Brother Branham was. And then I had a time with just me and Brother Branham listening to the tapes. I thought, my, if I get around people that believe this, we're all going to love one another and everything's going to be wonderful. And then one of the first times I went to church somewhere and this one brother wanted to give a testimony. And he said, I don't want to take the pastor's time. I want to take the Sunday school teacher's time because I don't want to take the pastor. And the Sunday school was full of himself. Mr. Sunday school teacher was full of himself. And he's debating and arguing with this young guy that just wants to give a testimony but doesn't want to take the pastor's time, right? So whenever there's debating argument, I go the other way. I left the church and I went outside. And I was fellowshipping with a brother, and I didn't say nothing about what was going on. And they didn't see me that I saw them. I just went out. And I'm sitting outside after church, and I'm talking to a brother, and a Sunday school teacher comes out, just nose in the air. He said, and the other brother with me, he didn't see what I saw, but I knew what happened. And this other brother says, what's going on? He said, I just told somebody the message from Genesis to Revelation in 15 minutes. And inside of me, something says, you don't even know what the message is. Because you don't know him, Jesus, or you wouldn't act like that.
Amen, brother.
There's so many people filled with knowledge that don't have Jesus. That's not the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is to reproduce Jesus. All right. Matthew 18, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time came the disciples to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom? You know, and there's other scriptures that show they're like debating amongst themselves. I'm greater than you. No, I'm greater than you, right? You know that. And then Jesus perceived. He says, what were you talking about back there? And they're like, I ain't telling him what I was talking about back there, because we were talking about who's the greatest, right? Is that in the Bible? Can you imagine carnality amongst the believers? And at the same time, the disciples came to him saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus called a little child unto him. Oh, don't you love Jesus?
Amen.
He knows how to teach. He's a great teacher. Called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. I feel like doing that today, but I'm not going to pick on somebody. He said, now just picture a humble little child standing right here like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he made me stand here looking at these people, right? A little humble child, not a spoiled little brat playing video games, right?
Amen.
Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're fussing about who's going to be the greatest. You know, I think they thought they were pretty great.
Hey.
Wow. Yeah, we did some miracles back there. I did a greater miracle than you. No, you did not. I did a great. Can you imagine? So what is his reaction to that? He gets a little child in the midst. He says, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty serious. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. So here's the big bad fishermen and disciples standing there. And Jesus pulls in a little child and says, unless you all become like a humble little child.
Amen.
The same. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Say, Brother John, that's a pretty simple message, Brother John. Teach me some deep things, Brother John. Teach me the deep word, Brother John. We love the word. Do you love Jesus?
Amen.
Of course, he is the word. Listen, he's not what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's sweet.
Amen.
He's lovely. He's a gentleman.
Amen.
He edifies. He doesn't tear down, and he's not competing with you.
Amen.
You find a real Christian, he's going to let you win.
Amen.
Because he don't need that, because he's so satisfied already.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Look at this little child. Innocence. Jesus values innocence.
Amen.
Not manipulation.
Amen.
not cleverness. It's a different spirit. He values innocence. Look at this little child. Not filled with worldly wisdom. Not filled with that know-it-all spirit. Not filled with false confidence. Sadly, many are. Walk around with this self-swagger. Listen, Jesus loves humility. Amen. He loves simplicity. He loves innocence. Look at this little child. He was little in his own sight. Do we see what Jesus is exalting?
Amen.
Do you see what he's pointing to? Praise God. And there's one thing, and like Tim was talking about as a little boy, there's one thing about a little child. They simply believe what their father tells them.
Amen.
They don't question it. Simple childlike faith is what Jesus is looking for. He's not looking for you and I to be complicated.
Yeah, that's right.
That is against what he wants.
Amen.
And that's exactly what the world is. We must have simple childlike faith. Remember Brother Branham in the prayer line? How many times did he say, have faith, don't doubt? Oh, that was just filler, Brother John. He was just using filler words. No! He wanted them to be healed. Have faith, don't doubt. Have faith, don't doubt. That's what you and I need. When you're coming to Jesus, he said, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, right, must believe that he is.
Amen.
Do you believe that he is?
Amen.
No questions about that? Some people question that. That hinders them coming to God. You must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Now, let's approach this with simple childlike faith now. Because you and I, when we come to Jesus with our adult know-it-allness and our reasoning powers and we know everything and we come to Jesus and we ask for something and we didn't get it, we're like, we didn't get it. Man. But if you come in simplicity and you know that he is, and you know without doubt he's a rewarder of those that seek him diligently, what happens to your expectations?
Right. Amen, brother.
You know that your efforts are not in vain.
Amen.
And that doubt can't hinder you because you didn't get it when you wanted it.
Right.
We need persistence.
Amen.
We need to be like the little child and say, Daddy, you said, I'm getting what you said because you would never lie to me. That's how to come to God.
Amen.
Like a little child.
Amen.
Always be respectful to Almighty God.
Help us, Lord.
But you can be persistent. He encourages us to. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18. I want to read a good portion of this chapter in Luke 18 because he gets the little children again. But let's start with Luke 18 where we need to be persistent. God told us to be persistent. And when you come to him, know that you don't come in vain.
Yeah.
He is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently.
Amen.
He may test your faith. But just keep coming.
Amen.
And he spake a parable unto this end, Luke 18:1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There wasn't a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So he describes the judge. It doesn't fear God, doesn't regard, doesn't care about anything, right? Well, God cares.
Amen.
But he's making an extreme example here to make a point. A judge which feared not God, neither regarded men, and there was a widow in that city, and she came saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. Now, she's a widow. Her husband died. She has a cause. So the judge said, I don't care about that. I don't fear God. I don't care about you. Go away. What is God teaching us here? avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while, but afterwards said with himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?
Yes.
See, don't give up. Keep coming.
Amen.
He may bear long with you. Time is a test. It's like I remember a brother came up to be prayed for. We were praying for the sick, and we prayed for him that week, and a lot of people. And I said, go believe, don't doubt. These signs shall follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's what the Bible said.
Yeah.
Go. Well, he went out, and I remember I got the chance to talk to the brother, and next week he came back, and I was talking about that. I said, now, if you put a time limit on God and you say, well, it didn't happen, then you really didn't believe it. And he called to me and says, that was me. I did that. I believed for healing last week, but it didn't happen in the week. So I thought, well, it ain't going to happen. See, time is a test. What we are to be like a child and say, God promised it. He can't lie. And I believe it. And I'm persistent with it. You know what? I'm going to praise God for healing me. Praise God for healing me.
Amen.
I still got every symptom. Praise God for healing me. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. I repented. I know I repented. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is mine.
Amen.
The devil says, yeah, but you got many things wrong with you. You got so much. The Holy Ghost is mine.
Amen.
Ignore all that. Focus on the promise. Be like a child and be persistent.
Amen.
Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Bram said they were in the upper room praising God for the Holy Ghost that hadn't come yet. They were happy about the Holy Ghost coming before it came. Why? They were simple childlike faith that said, he promised it. We got it. It's coming.
Amen.
We must become as little children and take the promises and say, I believe it. It's going to happen. I don't care. It's none of my business how long it's going to take. I don't care if it's 25 years before I get Isaac. Praise God for the promised son. Praise God for the latter rain.
Amen.
Praise God for sons of God manifesting the power of God.
Amen.
It's going to happen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, but it's been a long time. I don't care how long. God's word is true.
Yes.
God's word. It's my job to believe it, confess it. That's what I'm doing.
Amen.
Luke 18:9. And he spake a parable. This is the next part of scripture. Unto certain which trusted in themselves. Oh. It's terrible. It's worse than being in sin, in my opinion. This parable which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Yes. Self-righteous. Delusional. Thinks that he's special. Thinks that God is smiling on him because he's so righteous. Because he's trusting in himself. He's trusting in his own righteousness. You can have your own righteousness. What are you trusting in? We should be trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing in my arms I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I claim nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look at the publican. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not so much lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You ever pray that kind of prayer?
Amen, brother.
Sometimes that's all you can get out.
Amen.
Sometimes you're so mad at yourself and you despise yourself, which is scriptural, that you don't even want to hear your own voice. God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on my soul. But he hears that kind of prayer. See? This is Jesus telling the story. It's not my story. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The way of God is always humility. And that's because he is that way. Now that's a paradox, because if God bragged about himself, he wouldn't be lying, would he? God's not delusional thinking he's the master of the universe. He is. But here's what the quality of God is. He is lowly. That's a quality of his spirit.
Amen.
Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. I will dwell with him also that is of a humble and contrite spirit. Also. If you want God to be pleased to dwell with you, get low. Don't get lifted up, because the way up is down, the way down is up, and there's way too much of that. He'll withdraw from you. He'll move back from you. Say, all right, they need to fall so they can get right. God will let you fall if he loves you. If you're all lifted up in yourself and you think you're so great, God will let you fall like a rock.
Yeah, that's right.
He says, oh, Jesus, I need you. I help you. I'm nothing. Lesson learned. You'll always be nothing.
Amen.
But I'm your Savior. I'm your God. I'm here to pick you up. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Luke 18:15. Now here's a little child again. And they brought unto him also infants, little babies. He got no time for that. We're learning the word. That he would touch them, but when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. Listen, we're not going to throw out these brothers. The disciples did the same thing, right? Jesus, should we call fire down from heaven? They didn't agree with us. He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. But Jesus called unto them and said, suffer little children to come unto me. Oh my.
Amen.
And forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. As a little child.
Hallelujah.
We're nothing. Don't follow the trend of the world. Don't follow the way of the world where it's all about lifting up. It's all about being better and positioning and politics and brown nosing and men pleasing. No, we're God pleasers.
Amen.
We work for God. We don't work for our boss.
Amen.
Don't ever let that get in your mind. My boss no good, so I can slack off. No, you're slack. You're a representative of a Christian in this
Amen.
Life. Regardless of the conditions, you do your best. Regardless of what people do to you, you have a right attitude.
Amen.
Regardless of all the complainers around you, you don't complain.
Amen.
Because you're a child of the King.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Preach it, brother.
Don't let it on you. Don't let that spirit get on you. Have faith in God. Respond to the drawing of God. Be simple and humble as a little child. Don't let the modern world make you too complicated. People get too complicated in their mind. No, that's not good. That's not good. Be simple. I'll tell you, healings that I've witnessed have been people that have been simple in their mind.
Amen. That's it, brother.
When you get complicated, you're moving away from your healing. You're moving away from God. And it's the same around the message. When you get complicated with it, you're moving away from the heart of it.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Good. Don't let a religious spirit cause you to move away from the simplicity that's in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Trying to finish here.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. I love this scripture. It's a proof of serpent seed as well. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Spirit of Christ in Paul, speaking to the church. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's my concern around the message. People have got away from the simplicity of Christ. They've gotten away from just even talking about Jesus.
Amen, brother. That's right.
That's ABCs, but we're deeper in the Word than that. You got the wrong spirit, though. So what good is it?
Amen.
The Spirit of Christ will never say anything against this Bible. Brother Branham never preached against the real, genuine Holy Ghost experience. He never preached against the real gifts of the Spirit. He was talking many times against the Pentecostal perversion of it, but never the real. And now we got people running the message all complicated in their mind, and they're getting away from the Pentecostal experience, which is the real church of the living God.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. God hiding himself in simplicity. Brother Rand said, people miss him by the way he reveals himself. For he is so great, yet he hides himself in simplicity to make himself known to the heart. See, don't try to get the great because he goes over the top of it. But listen to the simplicity of God, and then you find God right here in a simple way. High polished, worldly wisdom, educated, always misses him. Oh, Brother John, that's people out in the world and in denominations and stuff. That's right around the message. You could be highly polished with the message, approaching it the wrong way. Educated. You got all the quotes. You got it all figured out. You know everything. No humility. No Christ. High polished, worldly wisdom, educated, always miss him. Now, I'm not here, I know there's school teachers, two or three sitting here. I'm not here to contradict school and education and support illiterateness. So I'm not here for that. But what it is, people have placed so much upon that until even the seminaries and so forth miss the very thing that God has before them. And what I'm saying is that people have placed so much emphasis on the revelations that God, I love everything that's been revealed. I love every message. My favorite message, the last one I just heard, because they're all good.
Amen.
It's all good to me.
Yeah, that's right.
I love every bit of it. What I don't love is what people do with it and misinterpret it and misplace it and say it means this and it means that and then make it complicated again. It was God in simplicity. God revealing in simplicity. You don't have to be complicated. You don't have to be clever. You need to be simple, humble to believe it. And they miss the very thing God put right in front of them to get. Another place. Now again in Moses' day, notice another deliverance. When God is just about to do something to deliver his people, God sends a message to his people. And it's so simple.
Amen.
As we catch in the breaking of these seals. Isn't that amazing that he tied God in simplicity into the seven seals?
Amen.
That God would hide himself in simplicity and then reveal himself in that same simplicity because he knew, God knew, that people would take the seven seals and make them something that they aren't. Why? Because they're looking way out there. God's so great. He's so mysterious. Oh, I got the secret. He doesn't want you to be like that.
Amen.
He said, don't do that.
Yeah.
He said, just leave it like it is.
Amen.
No, we can't have just six. I gotta have all seven. And they're guessing. And they're doing exactly what God told them not to do. And the only reason they do it is they don't have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Or else they would say what he said.
Amen.
God in simplicity.
Amen.
Just like he says, and it's so simple, we catch the breaking of seals, and that was my purpose of bringing this first, that we're bringing out the breaking of the seals. It's so simple.
Amen.
It's not complicated. If you can say what he said and believe what he said, you got it.
Amen.
Oh, but no, you gotta do all. You gotta. You ain't gotta. You gotta believe.
Amen. That's it.
Simply believe, and it just goes over the top. And that's the reason I thought this message this morning would be appropriate to lay a foundation. God hides himself in simplicity.
Amen.
See, it's hidden. When you try to get be mysterious with it, you're going to miss it a million miles. You know, God is so great, he hides in simplicity. He reveals himself in the same thing he hides it in. God is so great. That's what makes him great. So many miss him by the simplicity, simple ways he hides himself. Now, we know man cannot do this. Man cannot make himself great enough to be simple. Now, what makes God so great is because he can be so simple. And God does not reveal himself in greatness as we call greatness. Oh, brother, this preacher, he's such a great teacher. He's so great. Jesus is great.
Amen.
Ain't nobody else is great.
That's right, brother.
When I hear that kind of exaltation, it concerns me.
Amen.
Because where's the emphasis? God hiding in simplicity. And God is so big, he can make himself humble. But we can't get big enough to make ourselves humble. See the principle? We're carnal people. That's the difference. And so God hides in humility and simplicity. And man, wisdom of the world, looks right over the top of it. No wonder Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? To whom of the arm of the Lord is revealed? Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, heaven and earth. You hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent and will reveal it to babes such as will learn. Humility, simplicity. Just watch how God makes himself simple. Look at Eden. Just believe the word was all they had to do and live. God never said to the first cause, you got to have so many degrees of college. You have to have. He said, this is my word. Believe it, live, disbelieve it, and die. Eve disbelieved it all of it, and she just believed disbelieved a little phrase of it. That's how it's all started. Praise God.
Amen.
So my concern is we get too complicated with it, and we need to become more simple with it in our approach to God.
Amen.
In our faith with God. Amen. In claiming the promises of God. Don't get complicated. Don't listen to doubts and fears. Just believe it. People try to find them by worldly wisdom, but you can't. You got to humble yourself. Just a couple scriptures and I'll dismiss. James chapter 3, verse 13.
Hallelujah.
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, now notice, he's tying, there's two kinds of wisdom. Listen to the sermon, Wisdom versus Faith. Brother Branham talked about, there's the wisdom of God, which is pure, and then there's the wisdom of the devil, which is reasoning with the word. See? So the wisdom of God is not, and to the wisdom of the devil, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's a kind of wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's a kind of wisdom around this message that is earthly, sensual, devilish. And notice verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, that kind of wisdom produces that. See, when you're filled with Jesus and you're satisfied with Jesus, you know, what are you going to argue about?
Yeah, that's right.
But when you're doubting even who you are and you're trying to prove to somebody else by arguing with them, it shows that you're lacking something.
Right.
This wisdom descended not from above. Verse 15. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You see, the wisdom of God is not hard. It has mercy in it. The wisdom of the devil has no mercy. Believe what I believe or you're out. See, that's the wrong spirit. Let's all stand. I want to read one final scripture. Matthew 11, 28. Picture Jesus now. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me. Come to Jesus today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, could we all bow our heads just for a moment? I wonder if there's someone here today that would say, I want to come to Jesus. I just lift your hand up to him so he can see it. Not to me, but to him, say, Lord, I want to come to you. God bless you. I want to come in simplicity. I want to come not as a complicated person, but as a child. I want to come to you. God sees your hearts. God sees every heart. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to come to you, Lord, just the way you want us to come. As little children, believing you, Lord, that you are and that you're a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. Lord, please give us that hunger and thirst, that drawing from you, Lord. We know that's God-given. Give us that real hunger and thirst for you. Forgive us where we've grieved your spirit, Lord. Forgive us where we've had a false confidence of the world. Forgive us where we've just grieved your spirit in any way. Help us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, O God. Bless all those that lifted their hands, O God. Every one of us here today, we want to come to you, Lord. We want you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I want your sweet Holy Spirit. There's nothing like you, Lord, in all the world. Lord, I haven't seen everything in this world, but what I have seen, there's nothing like you, Lord. There's nothing that satisfies. Lord, I feel so bad. People running here and there, to and fro, looking for something to satisfy their souls. And you are the answer. Lord, help us to be a true representative of the gospel. May we help point people to you, Lord, as we come to you ourselves. May we bring others to you, Lord, in the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you for Calvary, Lord. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you for the simple gospel that came in the end time. Lord, it was the original gospel, a restoration back to the Paul's original gospel. And we thank you for that. I thank you for the simple prophet you used, Lord. Lord, we know it was all you, Lord. You did it all. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. I thank you for this day and the opportunity to speak about you, Lord. I'm unworthy, Lord. I'm unworthy and unprofitable, Lord. Lord, if you cast me away, you'd be justified. But Lord, I'm trusting in your mercy, Lord. I'm trusting only in Calvary. Lord, I have no claims of doing anything worthy to be saved. But I'm trusting by simple childlike faith that the blood that you shed cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm trusting in you, Lord. I'm trusting in your mercy. We're trusting. Lord, make us what you want us to be. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Do you love him today? Make me more like thee, Jesus. Is that your desire? Let it be our prayer as we sing to him now. Now's the time to worship. Sometimes the messages are cutting. Now's the time to let the healing balm come and the salve. And make me more alive.